Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. You know my name is Scott McKenzie, and I'm so glad that you are joining the podcast today. Once again, we are broadcasting from IoT Solutions World Congress in the beautiful and lovely town of Barcelona. It is an incredible place. Put that on your bucket list. Come to Barcelona because you will not be disappointed. And you know, the Industrial Internet Consortium is bringing us here. That's iiconsortium.org. And you're saying, Scott, why? And I'm going to tell you why. IoT, IIoT, AI, security, everything that's associated with Industry 4.0, you need to know. You need to know because it's going to impact your life and it's going to impact the way you do business. And it is all about problem solving from a technical point of view. So you need to go to iiconsortium.org. And you know why? Because it's free. You can find out all that information there at iiconsortium.org. Okay, we've got a great interview with a gentleman by the name of Simon Blythe. He's the founder and director of LX Group. See, it's all a reading there, Simon. I'm sorry about that. It's LX Group. And they're out of Australia, and they're here at this particular conference. So I am so glad that he is joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Let's get going. Simon, you having a good conference?
We're having a great time here. It's absolutely fantastic. It's great to be in Barcelona, and also really cool to hear everything that's going on over here.
How long was the commute?
Yeah, it was far enough. Yeah, it's about 30 hours once you add in a few layovers. And
Whereabouts in Australia? Sydney.
You're out of Sydney. We're in Sydney. We actually just started a little office in Lyon in France here. So we opened that this weekend. So we're excited about that. Most of the team are in Sydney. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. How long have you guys been in business?
13 years. Actually coming on 14 now.
Really? Yeah. Always been in sort of that whole edge IoT? Because
yeah.
It's sort of, if you've been in it that long, you've seen it come from the beginning of where it's been and now where you're at.
Absolutely. And what's really been interesting, I mean, we started off calling ourselves the ultra low power wireless embedded specialists. Now, when the term IoT came out, it was a huge relief because it's a lot easier to say IoT, and everyone knows what you're talking about. But we're doing this before it had a name, if that makes sense.
But come on, you got to understand. To me, it's funny. When you think about it, and if your listeners don't know what IoT means, it's called the Internet of Things. And to me, it's like a bunch of people gathered around a table. They were sipping some beer and wine. And, we got to come up with the name about this thing. I think it's just things. Oh, there it is, Internet of Things.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting name, but you've seen it evolve over the
years. Yeah,
it's been
fun to watch the progress. It's been fun to watch the whole world get the concept of increasing the performance of anything through just gathering a data and being able to process it in a way that makes sense. You know, the world trillions of dollars rattle around the global economy every day and billions of people do something. But the amount of inefficiency in there,
it's
IT has the ability to just reach in and just optimize P&Ls, user experiences, everything. We get really excited by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, so outside of that, let's sort of, for the listeners out there, establish your street cred and give us a little background into who you are, and then we're going to venture into that.
Yeah, sure. Before I started LX, I actually did a thesis in Zigbee. That's ultra-low power wireless connectivity and sensor networks back in 2005. And that was a really good launching platform into actually building products. We actually started off as a design services company specializing in the custom design of IoT products. We've done everything from consumer devices, ag, mining technologies, medical devices, military devices, a whole spectrum of things. And now we're up to over 500 different products and projects we've done where it's actually designing the things from the ground up, not like integrating things, but actually designing the circuit boards all the way up to the cloud backend and apps.
But those circuit boards, are they generic to a certain extent?
Great question. Okay, so the thing about Internet of Things is that there are a lot of different physical things that need to be connected. So a cat collar is different to a dog collar. They're not the same product.
Right.
Where in the first and second generation of the computing wave, so the computer and then the smartphone, what was common is that you've got a couple, a number of big manufacturers making these generic bits of hardware that people can go and build apps on top of. So, your computer becomes financial software or CAD software for different people.
Right.
But the challenge with the Internet of Things is it's born this huge boom in a need of custom hardware design.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a mix of both. There are devices that are generic, and they can suit generic applications. And then there's this world where you have to go custom. You just can't avoid it.
It's interesting when you say that. I don't see how you can, to a certain extent, standardize. So you have like legacy systems that exist out there that are pulling data, but then they need a security layer on, and they're just, they've been out there for many years, and so you need a solution around that. That's custom.
Yeah.
And then that pump and that pump and that pump and that valve and that valve, all of them are just, they're just different manufactured, different use cases.
Yeah.
And you're just going to have to. Yeah. It's exciting and frustrating, sort of both at once. You just can't just generically go out there and slap a device on it and say it's going to work.
Yeah, that's right. And we're finding that the Internet of Things, it's actually a physical real estate grab, because if you go and instrument things, like as a vendor, you instrument things, a lot of the use cases are 5 or 10 years that, that stuff will be there. So
yeah.
It's this race for physical real estate. But what's holding people back, what's different to the dot-com boom and the app boom, is that there's this need for the devices that is, it's really holding people back, not having the right devices to be able to go on things.
And let me just, for clarification, when you say the right device, what constitutes a wrong device? If I stick it out there, is it pulling the right data? It's not working quite right. What is
the number of times that people go to actually execute on delivering some kind of benefit improvement, building a solution around an IT product, where it could be the wrong price. It's too expensive to deploy right. 50,000. It could be that the battery life is 1 year and it needs to be 3. It could be that it's got a humidity sensor, but it needs this degree of accuracy, not that degree of accuracy.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how many permutations there are of things that need to be right for it to be the right device.
Yeah,
and often you only need one of those things to be wrong, and it's the wrong device.
And what's interesting about that unfortunate or challenge is the devices are also different, but locationally. Let's say you got a humidity sensor, whatever it might be, but it's different in Dubai versus South Africa versus Louisiana, where I'm from, because it's humid there. So, yeah, and you got to put that and bake it in to the IoT device.
And listen, we're in Australia, so we have to design for some of the the hottest summers up in Darwin, where you can get device temperatures up to 50 degrees, 50 even 60 degrees Celsius once you get the actual
that's brutal on
battery technology. It's brutal.
I can only imagine. Now, I'm sorry, I'm looking around for something real quick. Now, what's interesting is that you brought some examples of devices that you currently, now once again, you manufacture. So for me, I'm going to put my customer hat on.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm always liking to bring it down to that, that I have a desire to get into the IoT world, and I want to begin to deploy devices and begin to collect data and then be able to mine that data to create tactical decisions and so on and so forth. I can come to you and say, "Hey, I got a system that's in some region of the country, and we need to be able to pull this data, and it's on motors."
Sure.
And then you go, "Okay, I got you. I understand." Yep. And then you're going to create the device.
Yeah, for sure. So what we do, we build next generation IT products, and one of the things that we're really focused on is making it really easy for developers to build stuff on. See, the thing is that the last 20 years, we've built globally an army of software developers who build apps for phones and mobiles. Now they want to build apps for things, but they're hamstrung. So what we do is, one of the first questions we've got is it custom, or is it something off the shelf can work? Because if you've got something off the shelf, that's great.
That would just be great.
Right, because when you get it off the shelf, it's you can get it now, it's cheaper, the whole advantage, it's proven. The second you get a customer, it takes longer, it costs more. So that's a big question for us. And we do have generic devices as well, right? So we do custom and generic devices. But what we see, one of our focuses is to build great products that are plug and play, that give developers a really nice API layer to build their applications on top of. So they don't have to build the iPhone because they want to build an app. Does that make sense? Like, a lot of people having to build the iPhone because they want to build Twitter.
Right.
And that's, it just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
So that's where what we've got a range of tracking devices, things that look like
this.
And
now, if you guys are looking out on the video, we have an actual device in hand. So we're gonna explain, but recognize that if you want to go out there, go out to the video and you'll find some more.
So what we've got, we've got a little, it's actually kind of a little Babushka doll kind of family of little trackers.
Oh, yeah, check it out.
Here. Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go. So you got little ones, big ones, and ones in the
middle. You got to flip it around because of
we've got the branding. Okay.
There you go. Right, there we go. There you go.
Okay, so what, this is a great example of what we're talking about, where there are different kind of trackers for different kind of applications. Some of these have a sense port where you've got temperature, humidity, air quality, air pressure, different kind of sensing with an IP67 Gore-Tex membrane that helps protect it against the weather.
Sure, absolutely.
Highly ruggedized. These kind of tracking devices, they're used for like paddock-to-plate monitoring, for monitoring of assets out there in the field. They're able to withstand really, really awful conditions.
Yeah, I was I'm looking at the one in my hand here, and what's interesting, what always fascinates me about technology like this is first off, from an installation point of view, and like I said, if you guys are out there and you're contemplating IoT, the installation is not that difficult.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a matter of, and this one has adhesive on the back so that you can sit there and you might have to figure out exactly where to stick it for the optimization, but it's truly a stick it there type thing.
Yeah, that's right. This has actually been designed. You've got the VHB tape on the back, which is a very, very strong adhesive. You've also got a bracket system. You can have kind of cable ties or another bracket that goes over the top. And what we actually had a client rolling out large numbers of these products, and we had an under 2 minute install time target. We hit 45 seconds because it's essentially clean the service, peel, stick, and then to snap the QR code with the commissioning app on the side there.
So. What's fascinating about it, when long ago in a galaxy far, far away, I had a CapEx project on a motor at a facility, and it's a capital intensive conversation because I wanted to get data off of that asset, and then I'd have to, so I got to run a hard cable out there, I got to dig a ditch, I got to do, and that device needs to be created because it's not being created today just because that is a critical item.
Yeah.
And yet, talk about expense. So it's like one off, and you're just trying to pull the data, and then you got to figure out what data is important. This is what's fantastic about these technologies, is the fact that you can deploy this in less than a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're
it's
good.
Commissioned,
you're
it's on the cloud. Boom, you're ready to go. Exactly. So, and one other thing, part of our design philosophy is full stack. Where we're doing the entire design of the product, so it all plugs together and plays together really, really nicely. And that I think is really important. I think it's understated because the importance, if you're deploying 50,000 units of something, you need it to be fast because you've got a human doing something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also the same as if there's an issue, to be able to integrate it, and also if there's a battery replacement down the track. This, however, on one tracker they give you 5 years in some awful conditions.
5 years.
5 years. Yeah, it's an LTM tracker, NBIT tracker. It works indoors, outdoors. It's really, really a cool bit of kit.
That's your premium. That's your premium.
Yeah, that's the big one of the family. Then there's little ones here that are more like little Bluetooth beacons that can communicate with this and a gateway, and then a Bluetooth and Wi-Fi one that does more indoor
Do you location. Work with a company on it doesn't really matter. You're agnostic to, let's say, a cloud type of.
We're agnostic. Yeah, because we design from the ground up. We really want to use the best tools for the job, and then we connect to whatever it is.
Exactly. So this is where it is, but your ability to be able to deliver data accurate, and then it goes into whatever data analytical tool or whatever it might be to slice and dice. And do you, in the case of calibration, right?
Yeah.
If I'm in Australia, of course, the calibration is going to be different than maybe if I'm in Alaska. And then that your calibration occurs at the time of installation.
Yeah, so actually calibration goes into a whole different a whole realm of different things in terms of what the sensor is, what calibration needs to be done. So we have for different sensors and different things different kind of calibration mechanisms. And
but you dial it in because then you can, and not only from the calibration from just geographic location, but calibration from whatever it might be. That motor's different than this motor. Or the data is not accurate. It's popping data, but it's just not right.
Exactly. Which is kind of going back to one of the things we've been talking about, which is this this custom, this different kind of
Here's a question for you. Because you're collecting data, you slap it on that asset, you're collecting data. And let's say it's for this conversation, an Acme pump. And that Acme pump is maybe behaves differently than an Acme pump in another location.
Yeah.
And how do you define how the accuracy of that data being communicated? Like, how do you calibrate?
Yeah, it's sure.
Like,
so,
you know.
Yeah, we've done some of the, you know, some of the.
Five over here is different than a five down
there. Yeah, exactly. So we do have motion sensing and accelerometer on this. We can do some edge processing, like some, essentially like a learning algorithm that will actually learn normal and not normal. You know, so you can actually calibrate. You actually have a learning cycle. So what does this pump look like? And when you do that, you've got to look at not what is just normal for the pump, but what's normal for the environment around. So you don't want to do it. If it's a pump next to a busy street, you might have to actually do it when the street's busy as opposed to in the morning when, you know, you want to understand what's normal for that environment and what's normal for that bit of equipment, and then go through that learning sequence and then go from there. Yeah.
So, me as a business owner, whatever, why is this important for me?
Oh my goodness, okay. It for each business. Sometimes we get businesses saying, you know, a board of directors saying, IoT me. What does it mean to IoT my business? Because I've heard about it, heard it's a thing.
Right.
But as I was saying before, there is. We, as a global village, do a lot of dumb things every day. Now, I know that smart bins are overused as an example, but smart bins are a classic example because everyone can relate to it. There are a lot of people emptying empty bins.
Right.
They don't need to be emptied. In one project, we took the number of visits to a bin from 27 to 4. Now, that's because you've got an intelligent algorithm, you're understanding when a bin needs to be collected, you're doing some smart, you know, planning around that.
Yeah.
The more we see, the way I describe it is that because we've been doing IoT for so long, this is a funny example. Do you remember the magic eye books where you kind of look at a page and you go cross-eyed and you can see dolphins pop out of a pattern?
Yeah, you remember those? Absolutely, yeah.
But you remember, you're showing your friend's like, I can't see it, I can't see the dolphins. You know? And you're like, but I can, and once you get it, you can do it every page, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay. The opportunities for a business in IoT are like that. Like, a lot of people go, I don't see it, I don't understand.
Right.
But once you see it, you see it everywhere.
Right.
And so for a business owner, I think the main thing to, a message I would give is like an F1 car race 20 years ago, you needed to win, you needed a good car, a good driver, and a good day on the track. Now, if you look behind the F1 Red Bull race team, there are like 20 guys behind that. One is looking at the driver's condition, another one's looking at the strategy on the track, another one's looking at the rain cloud that's coming
insane.
Over in 18 minutes, right? And they're saying, put in 25 litres in a next pit stop, not 32, because we're going to have to take that other corner faster because of the rain cloud coming across. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now the key message there is, like, if your business is not connected, if you're not throwing analytics, you can't win. You know what I mean?
I like that analogy. I'm a big F1 fan, too.
Oh, that's good.
I follow it because of that level of expertise and insight into that asset that's going around that.
Exactly.
You
and
know,
so it's
track.
Hard to give specific, like, I mean, you give lots of, you know, use cases and specific examples, but it's a theme. It's like one of those things. It's a little bit like when computers first came out and said, well, why would I need email? Because I can just type up a letter and send it.
Yeah.
It's so broad, it's so big.
I'll tell you. I always get to the point where if you're a business and you're not engaged or actively engaged in looking at solutions like this, I'm telling you, competition is.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're going to just bury you.
One closing thing is
that
we work with the disruptors and the disrupted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm telling you, man. All right. You listeners out there, this is a gentleman by the name of Simon Blythe. Simon, are you active out there on LinkedIn?
Yeah. Hit me up. Simon Blythe,
Simon Blythe. He's with LX, and your website is lx-group.com.au. I'm winded by saying that, by the way. That's a lot.
This has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much. This is great.
He's wonderful. He knows what he's talking about. You got to find out more from Simon and the wonderful team at LX-group. And once again, we are brought to you by those incredible folks at Industrial Internet Consortium. Go out to iiconsortium.org. That's iiconsortium.org. Find out more. I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed because, once again, if you're not in the IoT game as a business, your competition is, and they're going to pass you up because this stuff is powerful. So you need to look into it. And so at iiconsortium.org, the information is free. But the detail and the quality of the content is phenomenal. I can't spell the word, but I can sure say it. So Thank you again for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. You know what I say? Be brave. Be bold. Dare greatly, you know, and change the world. That's what we're all about here. We're changing the world. This particular conference and IoT Solutions World Congress, changing the world. So thank you very much. We have another great interview coming your way. And that was Simon Blythe.
Thanks very much.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.